You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, everyone. We are down to the second to the last installment of our series called Unwavering. And over the past how many Sundays, we have been looking at the life of Abraham. Tinanggal ko na po yung Abraham because there has already been a name change at this junction of the story. We have been looking at his life, and you know what? Like what we said, his life was marked by a lot of ups and downs in terms of his faith. There were seasons in his life wherein he would stand his ground and stood firm in his faith. But we also understood that there were seasons in his life, just like all of us here, wherein their faith, or rather, his faith would actually waver. Last week, we've looked at Genesis chapter 17. We've looked at the options that Abraham actually gave God to help God in fulfilling the promise. Options in the person of Eleazar, his slave from Damascus, and his other son, option number two, who was Ishmael. But we understood that God basically told him that I am not going to fulfill my promise in those two guys, but instead Sarah will give birth to a son. And in fact, as you read the story, we will understand that it was actually God who basically told Abraham that it's going to come from Sarah. Now today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 18. We will be reading from verse 1 down to verse 15. Mind you, I'm reading from the ESV. So if you're reading a different translation, it's fine. It says here, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them," Bible says, "he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after you may pass on, since you have come to your servant.' So they said, 'Do as you have said.' And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'She is in the tent.' The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' The Lord said to Abram, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I didn't laugh,' for she was afraid. He said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" I am not sure if you were doing this when you were a child or when you were a kid, but you know, the past 2 days was a little bit nostalgic for me because of the gloomy weather. You know, to a certain extent, it brought me back down to memory lane when we were kids. My brother and I, every time it would pour hard, we would know where to position ourselves. My brother and I, pagka umuulan po na malakas, we would always go under the gutter of the roof. Naligo na ba kayo sa ulan? Like, have you ever done something like that? Every time there's rain, you just rush out of the house and enjoy yourselves under the rain. So my brothers and I would do that every single time. My mom would hate it because we will have to change clothes and all of these things. But you know, we have this position that, you know, under the gutter of our roof, you know, we would always stay there. And you know, we would feel all of this rain on our face and all of these things. So there were instances wherein we would never have the chance to do that. And we would tell my dad that there's something wrong with the gutter. And these are the instances wherein the gutter is filled with leaves, hopefully not poo-poo from birds, you know, with leaves, with a tree, whatever. It's just clogged for that matter. And I realized that, you know, sometimes in our faith journey, it's like that. Even if we are positioned at the right place, even if we are positioned at the right place at the right time, like being children of God, you're here every single Sunday. The Bible teaches us that, you know, every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to us. All we have to do is appropriate that in our life. But sometimes, even if we are positioned right there at the right place, we fail to receive God's promises. And a lot of times, we fail to receive this. It's not because on God's end, but it is because of our end. There are things that clogs our life from receiving God's promises. And some of these things are unbelief, doubts, fears, and all of these things. You know, the story that we're going to look at here today is, you know, to a certain extent, is a story of unbelief. A story of, let's say, fear. A story of doubt in what God can do in us and through us. Okay, last week we've talked about faith and waiting. In the same breath, we're going to be talking about faith and waiting today. But we'll add circumstance to it, difficult circumstances. Who of you here have gone through difficult circumstances in your life? Come on now. Hospitalization, sickness, and all of these things, difficult circumstance. Sometimes these are the times where it's difficult for us to believe for God's promises in our lives. Now here's what we're going to do. We have 15 verses here today. But we'll come on some of them and, you know, not really skip, but we'll just read through the others simply because we don't have the luxury of time to cover everything. I'd like to start with verse 1. It says, and the Lord appeared to him, okay, talking about Abram, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. So the context here is basically something like this. You know, that during their time, of course, I think that stands in pale comparison to what their tents really look like. But you know what? Having 318 men, remember? Having 318 men, I'm most likely, you know, that Abraham doesn't have just one tent. He's got several tents. It's like a camping. Bible teaches us that at the heat of the day, how we understand hot weather in the Philippines is quite different from theirs. Okay, theirs is a dry kind of heat. It's like you're standing behind an aircon. You know what I'm talking about? Do you enjoy doing that, standing behind an aircon? You don't like that, right? So it's like a dry heat right in your face. So Bible teaches us that, you know, Abraham was doing something like that. He was sitting at the door of his tent. Nakatambay lang po si Abraham. Okay? Nakatambay lang po, so the heat of the day. And the Bible says, the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. Now at this point, I'd like us to understand that every time God appears, okay, you remember that when we started off this series? It was gradual, it was progressive. At one point, we understood that Abraham was pagan. Pagano po si Abraham. He was not a God believer. He was worshiping several other things. Yet, Bible teaches us that God spoke to him audibly. After a while, God started appearing to him. And every time God would appear to him, these were the instances wherein Abraham would put up altars. He would put up altars in memory of whatever it is that they have a conversation on. So this scenario right here was another altar-building worthy scenario. So meaning to say, this is an important point in the history, not just of Abraham's life, but in our life. The Bible says, the Lord appeared to him at that time. Now, at this junction, okay, this part of the story, we have to understand that Abraham was no longer called Abraham, but he was now called Abraham. There was a name change, which I think all of us understand is very important, especially in the Hebrew context. Tama po ba? It was also at this time that Sarai was no longer called Sarai, but she was already called Sarah. Last week, we've said that, you know, Sarai and Sarah mean the same thing. Sarai means princess, Sarah means princess. But the difference is the dominion of the kingdom that she has, okay? Because being a Sarai means that she is a princess in a dominion of one household. But being Sarah means she is a princess in a dominion of multiple nations or multiple people. In the same breath, Abraham means exalted father, and Abraham means father of many. We have to understand that during their time, most especially, a change of name is a change of identity and destiny. Now, I don't want you to think about your names. Okay, yung mga pangalan po kasi natin, you know, it's different from theirs before. Every time they're given a name, it speaks of their destiny. I don't want you to feel bad about your name right now. Okay, I don't want you to change your name, go to PSA or whatever. But during their time, every time there's a name change, there's also a change of identity and destiny. In relation to the promise, remember, what was the promise? Come on now. There was a promise to what? The covenant son. Okay, that was the promise of God. Now, in relation to the promise, where does this story right here that we're reading, Genesis chapter 18, fall in the timeline? Asan na tayo? Where are we now? Where are we in the timeline that God has given to Abraham? Now, here's the thing. It has been 24 years since they first received the promise. 24 years. Now, I don't know with you, but if you ask me, I think that's too long of a time. I mean, to wait for my turn at Globe Lines or to wait for my turn at Turks, I get impatient. Imagine waiting for 24 years. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen in 24 years. So Abraham, at this point, that God appeared once again after 24 years, and we understand that, you know, God in this story is restating and reaffirming the upcoming covenant son. But guess what? We have to understand that at this point, Abraham was already how old? He was already 99. Turning 100 for that matter. And it's close. No, it's not close to impossible. It is impossible. Let me share the story of Patrick. You know, Patrick used to be one of our leaders here before he betrayed us. Okay, no, just kidding. Okay, he is now one of our leaders. He leads our ministry to medical students in our church in Victory U-Belt. I met Patrick, I can't remember when, but I think Patrick has been in the Philippines for 9 years. I met him when he was a freshman student. Okay, very, very sleek hair. Talaga nanunod kayo ng suits. Okay, talaga nakaganon yung buhok ni Patrick. And you know, he was so slim. Patrick is an Armenian, not Armenian, okay? He was an Armenian coming from Armenia who grew up in Tehran, Iran. During the time that he came to the Philippines, I don't know if you've noticed that, but it was the time wherein there were a lot of Iranians coming to Dumaguete. Have you ever experienced that? Like everywhere you go, there's either a Korean or an Iranian in Dumaguete. So it was during that time, and there was also a time wherein he was like the only one left, the only Iranian left in Dumaguete. Patrick is a son of a pastor, and his father operates an underground church in Iran, in the heart of Tehran. And what happened was that the government made a huge, you know, crackdown, just like what the Chinese government is doing right now, a huge crackdown over underground Christian churches. And so because of that, you know, his family had no choice but to leave and seek asylum from Iran, going straight to the United States. And you know, ever since that time, you know, Patrick was standing here, and he was left here, and he has been wanting to go to the United States. I think he has not been with his father for what? For a good 8 years. The entire family are now in California, and he's now left in the Philippines. And here's the funny thing. I asked permission from him, okay? He applied for a U.S. visa, I think, 4 times already. And every time he would apply, he was denied again and again and again. If you look at that, every time I would ask him, so how does it feel to be rejected? Okay, so kasi si Patrick po hindi nare-reject sa U.S. Embassy lang. Okay, how does it feel to be rejected, bro? And you know what, Patrick would say, I feel bad about it. But you know what, he was always in faith. I'm sharing this story because this is not yet a testimony. Okay, in fact, this is an ongoing process. Okay, coming into his 10th year, he is still believing that he will get to see his family. Okay, he would always do that again and again. This is not yet a testimony, but guess what? I think and I believe that this is a brewing testimony. There will come a time where he is going to share this as a testimony. I'm sharing this to you now because in the middle of waiting, as he is waiting, I look at the life of this young man, he's making himself of good use to the kingdom of God. As he is waiting, he is studying medicine, though he knows for a fact that he cannot take the medical board exam in the Philippines because he is a foreigner. Okay, as he is waiting, he will go to 10 days. As he is waiting, he makes his talents of good use for the advancement of God's kingdom. I want us to understand this. All of us here today, at one point in our life, will wait for something. Some of you will wait for someone. My prayer is, as you wait, my prayer is that we will make ourselves of good use to the kingdom of God. That we don't look for something that we're waiting and turn it into our idol. Here's the thing. What we become during the wait is as important as what we will receive after the wait. A lot of times, nakafocus lang tayo sa baba. We always focus ourselves on what we will receive, but God is also concerned with our very character. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that faith and character are forged during delay. Diyan po lumalabas yung tunay na ugali natin. Am I right? You wanna know the real attitude of a man? Make him drive a car in the middle of a traffic. You know what I'm talking about. Character is revealed and character is forged during seasons of waiting, during seasons of delay. I hope and pray that, you know, as God's people, we will come to understand that as you wait, you will not compromise your integrity. There's an easier option here. You know what? There will always be an easier option. But those easier options does not mean that those are God's option for your life. I hope that during the time of waiting or the time of delay, you will not compromise your integrity, that you will not become bitter by the day. You talk to Patrick and you'll know that this guy is not bitter. In fact, baka maging bitter ka pa kasi hindi siya bitter. But hindi ka bitter sa buhay mo? In verse 2, it says here, he lifted up his eyes while he was sitting at the door of his tent. May door pala yung tent, ano? So, paano kaya yon? Okay, sa kanila lang yon. Okay, he lifted up his eyes and looked and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, Bible says, look at this one, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Then it says here, and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Then it says here, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. So you have to understand that the first few words that these three guys said were, do as you have said. Now here's the scenario here. So he was sitting at the door of his tent, from the horizon, not too far most likely. He saw three guys coming towards their place. In fact, truth of the matter is, if you read further, two of them were going to Sodom. You know what's going to happen in Sodom in that story, right? So he saw three guys coming forth. Let me establish something very clear. This is a case of what we call Christophany. Meaning to say, these three folks right here that we see, two of them were angels and one was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But take note, this is not Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus in human form. This was not yet Jesus incarnate, but Jesus in human form. Are you folks with me? How can we say that this was a case of Christophany, an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament before he was born? We can say that because if you look at this one, it says here that Abraham bowed himself to the earth. So meaning to say, Abraham acknowledges, okay, that this man right here is no ordinary man. That this man right here is someone that I need to pay homage to. Another thing which is very clear here is the fact that it says here, O Lord, according to Abraham, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, if that will be an ordinary person, that it would not be spelled as Lord with a capital L, okay, or with a capital L. It will just be Lord as how Sarah would address Abraham for that matter. So we have to understand, okay, which is very important in this passage, that these three guys who were coming forward, were coming towards him, were Jesus and two other angels. So hindi po to Trinity, okay, hindi po yan God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's just Christophany or probably Theophany. We don't really know. It's Jesus Christ appearing in human form. And of course, may kasamang bodyguard. Malamang si Gabriel, tsaka sino pa. Okay, together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these two guys will bring about judgment to the city of Sodom. Now, what do we have here? What do we have here? We have here a case wherein God's visitation brings about confirmation. After how many years, we see God appearing once again. But this time around, this was really in human form that gets to really converse with Abraham. And this visitation brings about confirmation. Now, God has given Abraham and Sarah 6 restatements of the promise. Now, I don't know with you, but if you have been waiting for 24 years, I think you need some restatements of the promise. If I will be waiting for a promise, for a fulfillment of promise from God, after 6 months, maiinip na ako. Lord, wala pa ba? Ba't ang tagal? By God's grace, He would bring about restatements of the promise. Every time He would see that, you know what, Abraham and Sarah would falter in their faith, He comes to remind them that I am going to fulfill my promise. This was a situation right here that's their everyday life. If you try to translate that kind of life to our life right now, sometimes it happens to us. In the course of waiting, different circumstances are coming in and life becomes monotonous. In the case of Abraham and Sarah, when things were becoming mundane, routinary, ordinary, and monotonous, God appears to jolt their faith once again. I mean, that is the beauty of the God that we worship. He doesn't promise you one thing and leave you to suffer while waiting for it. In fact, God was not telling Abraham and Sarah to wait for 24 years to see them suffer. I don't think so. It's just that at the end of the day, like what we said last week, it was actually God who was waiting. He was waiting for the time wherein the impossibility of the impossibilities are happening so that he could come in and basically fulfill his very promise. In verse 6, it says here, so Abraham went quickly into the tent. He acknowledged that the person that is talking to is the Lord Jesus himself. So, of course, pagkaharap mo si Lord, magmamadali ka. Okay, the Bible says, he went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 siyas. Is that how you say that? Siyas? Kasi mamaya, may lumapit na naman. May lumalapit po sa akin every service. Pastor Archie, ito yung pronunciation yan. Okay, mga judgmental yung mga tao dito. Okay? 3 siyas of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. Okay, and Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man. Scholars would say that young man was Ishmael. Okay, who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. He prepared all of these things. Okay, that's what it means to be hospitable. Okay, Abraham was a good host. Okay, he prepared the calf and set it before them. And look at this. And the Bible says he stood before them as they were eating. During their time, culturally, that's what host will do. Okay, while your guests are eating, you stand. Parang waiter po. You stand and, you know, you stand and just entertain them. Entertain, that means talk to them, not dance or what. Okay, you talk to them. Okay, so how's the food? Is it tender or whatever? So you just talk to them as you're standing. Okay, this is what Abraham was doing right here. Then it says here, let me just say this for a while. Look at this one. While they were eating, they were silent. Okay, that's crazy, right? Alam mo gaano ka awkward yun? Yung kumakain sila, ikaw nakatayo, nakatingin. Sarap naman yan. Kasi ang first few words nila were, do as you have said. Okay, prepare the meal. So pagdating nila, mambira, wala man lang thank you. Kain agad. Kain agad si Lord, kain agad yung dalawa. Then afterwards, look at this one. The first few words that came out of their mouth was, we're sorry, your wife. That's quite odd. Okay, that's quite odd because I don't think that's a good conversation starter. A good conversation starter could have been, how are you, Abraham? How are you all these years? Food is good, Abraham. Thank you for the food. Is this a calf of yours or something like that? But they started asking, where is your wife, Sarah? Does that sound familiar? Isn't it that when God drew Adam and Eve out of hiding, he starts asking, where are you, Adam? A lot of times when we are wallowing, in our fear, in our anger, in our circumstance, God comes in and draws us out of it. He starts asking, where is your wife, Sarah? You know what? It only means one thing. It only implies one thing. That these guys right here know the very situation of Sarah. And it gives us a picture that God cares about her situation. That God cares about her situation. The Lord said, I will surely return to you, Abraham, about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. We've heard this over and over again. Then it says here, and Sarah was listening. Oh, there's Sarah. Okay, there's Sarah. So you kind of get the position here. Abraham was here. The guests were here. And Sarah was hiding behind the tent, most likely her own tent. And what was she doing? Eavesdropping. She was eavesdropping. Bible says, and Sarah was listening at the tent door behind that man. So you get the picture. So while they were talking, while they were asking where Sarah was, and Abraham said, she is in the tent. And yet God gave another promise at this time next year, Abraham. At this time next year, Abraham, she will bear a son. And Sarah was behind the tent. Now take note of this one. While he was saying that, next year will have to be what? 25 years since they've received the promise. Ano po yung anniversary ng 25 years? Silver anniversary na po. Hindi po ng anak ko, ng promise nyo. I mean, folks, read this with the lens of reality. Come to imagine this. If you were Sarah, you hear this from someone, okay, next year, today's 24th, this year's 24th year, next year, 25 years. Ala na. People my age ang pinag-uusap. Ang pag-uusapan natin next year, childbearing, people, may age ang pinag-uusapan, St. Peter, supplement. Patayin na nga OB ko. Because it's the 25th year next year. Lord, 25. See, be honest with you. Anyone here can hold on to a promise for 25 years? Come on now. It's difficult. It's going to be painful, for that matter. And then it says here, Genesis chapter 18, verse 11, now Abram and Sarah were old and advanced in years. Now take note of this one. This was what the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah was listening at the tent door. Then look at this one. What was written afterwards was the fact. That's the fact right there. The fact is, now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years, the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Ibig sabihin, no more menstrual cycles. So many to say, it's just impossible. It's just impossible. If you're telling next year, baka your next year, pagkakaalam ko, 1 year, 1 day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Baka yung sinasabi mo next year, Lord, after 1 century pa. Anong itsura na ni Abraham nun? Anong itsura ko nun? And the fact here was that they cannot bear a child anymore. So I want you to understand here, there's a tension. Okay, and this happens in our life. There's a tension between what? What God says and the reality of your current situation. What God says and the fact about your current situation. What are some of our current situation right now? Like what I said last week, remember? Sa 5 p.m. service, yung bank account mo. Remember, sometimes, naalala niyo yung mga times sa buhay natin na parang wala ka nang maiwithdraw? Naglabas ka ng ATM card, ang kintab-kintab ng ATM card mo, pero wala ka nang maiwithdraw. Okay, tapos, pag-check mo na account balance, BPI, pag-check mo, uy, guess what, meron ka pang 300 pesos, di ba? Ang saya na, ganun, parang you will rejoice. Pero may problema, ang minimum withdrawable amount is 500. Magbasok mo, di ba? Ano ginagawa pag ganun? When that happens to you, that has happened to me. You know what I'll do? I'll be so close to the screen para wala makakita. Huwag kang tumingin-tingin dyan. What's worse is you hear the one beside you, narinig mo, daming pera lumabas. I mean, these things happen to us. I mean, that's the fact. That's the reality, friends. If you look at some of our sickness, illnesses in the family, I was just talking with someone and he was telling me, man, out of the many people in the world, this disease came to me. And that's the fact that we are seeing here. And here, we have here a good example wherein there's a tension with what God says and the reality of our situation. So what's the result? Here's Sarah weighing. I heard this myself from the Lord. Not just through his agent, Abram, to me. I heard myself that this is what God says. At this time next year, Abram, your wife Sarah will give birth to a son. But the reality is, I'm too old for childbearing. So as a result, look at this one. Bible says, Sarah laughed to herself. Sarah started laughing to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? Let's talk about Sarah's laughter for a while. Or let's talk about laughter in general. Who loves to laugh? You love laughing. Anyone here? Okay, that's why sometimes we have to put a little humor into our sermons. Okay, do you have friends who loves to make you laugh? Meron kayong mga kaibigan ganun. Maghanap po kayo pag wala. Okay? Do you have friends who love playing pranks on you? Okay, whether in the office or at home. And so about laughter for a while. For us to understand Sarah's laughter. You know, according to Ben Patterson, he says that the two elements that make something funny is incongruity and surprise. Okay? When you say incongruity, it means that something is incongruous. Guess what? You will Google this later. Okay? So something is incongruous. Okay? Meaning to say, something doesn't add up. Something is odd. Okay? Something is different. Something is new. Something is not usual. Something is not ordinary. That is what it means that something is incongruent. It's not usual. Like, it makes you laugh when you see someone drinking a, well, kung mababa yung kaligaya mo, you see someone drinking dirty water because someone placed something in it. And then the moment that person starts drinking that, you start laughing. Okay? But that's one element incongruous. The other element is the element of surprise. Okay, that's why when we play prank on someone, they get surprised over all of these things. You know, it's surprise means that every time something happens and there's a twist to it, we start laughing. So incongruity and surprise. The thing with Sarah was that the element of surprise was lacking. It's just things were incongruous. Meaning to say, the element of surprise was lacking, things were just incongruous. Meaning to say, things were just odd. Things were just different. It's like I am at this age and I'm holding on to a promise for the last 25 years, for the last 24 years, and there's no element of surprise to it. So meaning to say, her laughter becomes different. Her laughter is a laughter of what? Her laughter was a laughter of despair. Her laughter was a laughter of resignation. Her laughter was a laughter of a cynic. Meaning to say, okay, Sarah's laughter was not a laughter of joyful anticipation, but a cold resignation. She was laughing because she was like saying, nope, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. I've waited for, 24 years now. It will not happen. Friends, before we judge Sarah, we have to understand her first. I don't know with you, but I think it really hurts to wait and not receive. Is there anyone here, at one point in your life, you've watched one of these or read one of these Charlie Brown Peanuts comic strip? There were times when, you know, Lucy would always do this to Charlie Brown. Lucy would always hold the football, and then she would dare Charlie Brown. You know, Charlie Brown, for lack of a better term, was a loser. Okay, so she would dare Charlie Brown, kick the football, and Lucy would do something with the football, something like this. It would happen over and over again in their story. Now, I don't know with you, but this was the situation of Sarah right here. To a certain extent, she felt like, I feel like God is tricking us. I feel like God would want to see us suffer. I feel like God would want to see our neighbor laughing about our situation. Here's the thing. Waiting, if not done in the right way, which is in faith, can result to resignation. And that resignation can result to bitterness. And that bitterness can result into hating God. Most especially if you get to see the situations of the people around you. You see that this person is prosperous. You see this person was healed. The person has had a new car. The person, your enemy, had a brand new house, and yet here you are. All these years, Lord, I have been waiting. Verse 13 says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child and now that I am old? You know what's funny here? Look at this one. It says here, the Lord said to Abraham, who started laughing deep inside her? Sarah. Who was held accountable for that laughter? Abraham. Any father in this room, can I see your hand for a while? If you're a dad in the household, I want you to understand this. Look at this one. Abraham was held responsible for the spiritual climate of his household. In fact, one of these days, I can use this for parenting or for marriage seminar. Because it gives us a picture that, you know what? God heard her laugh, though that laughter was an inward laughter. And instead of confronting her directly, God looks at Abraham. Why is your wife laughing? Why is your wife laughing? I want you to understand this. Fathers in this room, dads in this room, even if you are the newer Christian between you and your spouse and the family, I want you to understand that you are responsible for the spiritual environment, climate, and well-being of your kids, your wife, and your entire household. At the end of the day, we will give an account to God for how we have led our own families. In the Philippines, it's a very matriarchal culture. A lot of times, you know, the women lead. Biblically speaking, we see that it's actually the men lead who leads. Most especially in terms of the spiritual climate of the household. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? This was not a restatement of the promise anymore, but this was a restatement of their problem. They're like saying, you're telling me, you're shoveling up, Abraham and Sarah, you're shoveling the fact of your situation in my face. And God didn't take pleasure in that one. I want you to understand, friends, that unbelief is a sin Because it's like synonymous in saying that God is a liar. And I hope and pray that at this point in your life right now, I hope and pray that you'll start to believe again when it comes to God's promises. Look at this one. In Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, there was a time wherein Jesus couldn't do miracles in that place. And it says, he marveled at their faith. Nope. Bible says he marveled because of their unbelief. It catches God in surprise saying, my goodness, after all these years, after many restatements, you still do not believe. And it's not like God cannot do anything about your situation. It's just that he wants you to have faith. He wants you to believe his very own word, for that matter. I like this. As we end, remember, incongruous and surprise. What was lacking was the element of surprise. Look at this one. The element of surprise was added by God himself. When he said, is anything too hard for the Lord, Abraham? Contemplate about that. Pag-isipan mo, Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? You're talking about someone who created everything. At the appointed time, I will return to you at about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. With regards to your situation right now, always put that on your Bible, on your paper, on your phones. Always contemplate about it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, my wife has this calculator at home, and then every time she would use it, alam niyo yung calculator na may tunog, tit, 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 tit. And a lot of times when I use that, I would use a calculator. I don't know with you, but a lot of times, laging kulang. Can you guys relate with me? Lord, tinanggal ko na yung mga wants, needs na lang, kulang pa rin. Ang technique po dun, ipasok natin si Lord's equation. Let's factor in what God can do. Let's factor in the miraculous deeds that God can do in your life and through your life. Putting God into the equation for that matter. Let's talk about the gift of laughter. Here's what I love. Here's what I love about the God that we worship. Two instances. One, Abraham started laughing. A laugh of mockery. A laugh of unbelief. You catch that, fathers in the house? Who started laughing? Abraham. Whatever you do, the rest of the family will catch it for that matter. Abraham starts laughing. After a chapter, Sarah starts laughing. But these two kinds of laughters were not good. These were not laughters of faith. These were not laughters of hope. This was not laughters when they're going to believe God for the impossible. But this was laughters of despair. A laughter of hopelessness, for that matter. In the story right here, God gives us the gift of laughter. I want you to understand this. After 5 years, 10 years, 15 years of you waiting, there will come a time when you're going to laugh. But that's a different kind of laugh anymore. That's a laugh that is given by God to you because you can laugh. You look back at your situation. You stood firm in your faith. And now you start receiving the reward for the faith that you have professed. Look at this one. It says here, Genesis chapter 21, verse 6 to 7. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet, I have borne him a son in his old age. Element of surprise came in. And God gives them a reason to laugh. And a reason to believe that he will promise his faithful. Let me just end by saying this. What is our prayer for every one of you? As pastors of this church, as for me and Rian, for the leadership of this church, what is our prayer for every single one of you? Our prayer is very simple. That God will give you the gift of laughter. That God will give you the gift of laughter. That we will stand with you and rejoice with you when you start having that car. That we will stand with you and rejoice when you start having that child. That we will stand with you and start rejoicing when you start having that house. That we will stand with you and rejoice with you when your son, your daughter comes back to you. In the meantime, while waiting for that laughter, I pray that we will all exhibit a joyful anticipation. A countenance that tells the world that he will promise is faithful. I may not have it yet, but I know the one who promised to me is a faithful God. Amen.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.